This is Talk Star Wars,
the official podcast at talkstarwars.co.uk.
Welcome to Talk Star Wars. I'm Mark.
I'm Stephen.
And I'm Rob.
Finally, it's taken an hour to get this podcast on its feet.
Yep.
What
there in the end.
A nightmare.
That was really bizarre.
Dropbox is a podcast assassin.
Yeah, it really was that Bespin cloud cover last night, Mark.
That's it. Yeah, it's all gone.
It's caused interference.
It's all gone already pear-shaped. Anyway, welcome back to Talk Star Wars. Thank you for joining us again. As you can see, we've got our fingers right on the pulse. Gentlemen, how are we?
A bit woozy, otherwise good.
Mark,
would you like to explain blood. Why you're woozy?
Yeah, I gave blood about an hour and a half ago. So at the time of recording, I've been 20% short for... Well, is it 20%? Something like that. They take a pint, which, you know, it's fair. It's a fair old percentage of 12%.
It is an armful.
It's an armful. Yeah, they took a skinful.
I'm having a skinful.
Yeah, they took a pint or 568 mil for you metric folks. So I'm all right. I'm just, you know, still a little bit. The problem is keeping the bandage on my arm. That's the big one, because it's really muggy, so my arms are all sweaty. They're just not staying on. So I've had to wrap it. I've done about three loops of
You really are painting a beautiful picture.
I've got about three loops of plaster tape over it.
He's a little bit country now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you, Stephen, are a little bit rock and roll, right?
Well, I'm also woozy because I got a huge wound from the cat on my pinky. And it bled for a long time. I reckon I got... Maybe like what are those things you clear your ears out with?
Cotton buds.
Cotton bud. They don't call them that in America, though.
Q-tip.
Yeah. I probably got a Q-tip worth of blood, and I'm feeling a little bit lightheaded. So I'll be all right, I'm laying down.
Well, I'm feeling lightheaded because I used the C word about 25 times when I was having a Skype issue. So, and I don't do that.
Used your breath out, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, right, let's jump into this. We got to start the show off... with an unfortunate RIP.
Yeah, very much so.
The geek world lost an amazing young force this week.
Yes, indeed.
We lost actor Anton Yelchin.
In bizarre circumstances.
There isn't a single person listening to this podcast who doesn't know who Anton Yelchin is, but to be safe, he is the star of the new Star Trek trilogy.
Yep.
The reboot of Fright Night, and he was hands down the best thing in Terminator Salvation.
Do you know, I'd forgotten he was in it at all.
There
and
is
you haven't met
Kyle.
The best two films he was in.
The what, sorry?
The best films he was in of all.
What were they?
Hearts in Atlantis and Odd Thomas.
Oh, right. The Odd Thomas stuff, that's an adaptation of a Dean Koontz series, isn't it?
Yeah, very much like Fright Night.
Oh, right, okay. I'm going to have to check that out.
No, not Fright Night. Sorry, Frighteners.
Oh, I know the one. Yeah, the Michael J. Fox one, right?
I loved it. And Hearts in Atlantis is Stephen King book.
Okay.
He is just amazing in it. And it's such a shame. I honestly haven't stopped thinking about it all week.
It's weird as well.
And loads of people die and it's horrible. But when it's someone you gravitate towards and you watch and you have a visual, you know, have a visual impact in your life, it's horrible, isn't it?
Yeah. And he was so
young
as well.
How many times are we going to do this? It's like we're going to be making a podcast soon just about dead people.
It's this year, 2016.
Yeah, really is. 2016 is the year of,
losses. Great losses.
Losses, yeah, very much so.
So, heartfelt condolences to his family.
And indeed. His friends, yeah.
It's horrible way to go at a young age.
It's a terrible loss.
And
a lovely
loss, bloke, apparently.
Terrible loss to the geek community. And, of course, we like to open a show with these sort of remembrances.
Mm-hmm.
So, Anton, RIP, my friend, you will be missed. Okay. Right, let's jump on to some more heartwarming news. We've picked up just one new Facebook person this week.
Yep.
James O'Flattery.
Flaherty. Oh, I know that name.
Do you?
I recognise that name. Sorry, I think that's Tumbling Sabres, James. I think O'Flaherty sounds like James from Tumbling Sabre.
Well, if that is the case, then multiple double, congratulations. Double
yeah, absolutely.
Because he's just become a dad again this week.
Yes, absolutely, yeah. Third time, I think I heard him say.
Yes, third time. Yeah, so
quite impressive stuff, you know, and very very deep congratulations to James.
Indeed, part of the Commonwealth.
Indeed, yes, wonderful, the ever-growing stuff. Commonwealth, yeah.
No reviews this week, unfortunately, so no. We will roll over the VIP draw for another week.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
Which brings us neatly and swiftly into listener comms.
Awesome.
The first one I just thought was absolutely superb. We got this straight after recording last week, so...
Okay.
Stacey, this is from Stacey White.
Oh, yeah, I know Stacey. Hi, Stacey.
Wonderful Stacey. Hello, Stacey. Steve, this is your Stacey, who likes your newts.
Oh, hello. I like Kenneth Williams again.
Yeah.
It's Leslie Phillips, isn't it? Hello.
I have been saying frogs, Stacey, all week, but I did lose two yesterday... to the dreaded patio, and their legs stuck to the patio, and they like raisins.
I don't even like them, and that sounds horrendous.
That is
horrendous. Oh, it's a horrible way to go.
Yeah, I bet.
I literally have come like home to work before because I knew there'd be one stuck on the patio, and come home and save them. That takes about an hour to unstick their legs without damaging them.
Oh my God.
It's a whole thing. And I told Jen about it. It got us nuts, and then she got involved, and she also went out every quarter of an hour when it's sunny to check them. It's not easy having froglets. It ain't a laughing matter either.
No, it's just that
it's quite a serious endeavour.
That's going to be the title of your novel, isn't it? It ain't easy having froglets. Anyway, no. Stacey's message.
Thanks for your support.
Yeah. Stacey says, "Hello, you lovely bunch of British boys. If you haven't discussed this topic before, I would like to hear about your most prized Star Wars possession."
Okay.
Both categories of most monetarily valuable and most sentimental value. Metaphors be with you from across the pond, Stacey White.
Right,
Stacey.
Right, what have we got?
It's a good question.
Well, mine is my Millennium Falcon that I can't find, but I know I still have. I flew the big one, you know, the 19.
Kenner one.
This would have, 1979, I think I got it.
Right, yeah.
I was about eight. So I'm old. But it was beautiful. It was the one with a gun. You sat him in the chair. You know the one.
Yeah, the little clicky. Made a little clicky.
Yeah. And then I had a snow speeder as well, which I also loved, but the lights stopped working on the front.
Yeah, they took some big ass batteries.
My Star Wars figures. Yeah, I liked them all. Most sentimental value would be the Millennium Falcon. Monetary value, I don't know. They all got taken from my nan's loft when I was young. So they might be worth something now, but they're all gone.
Mm. What about sad you, times. Rob? I had a massive clear out a few years ago, and so I don't actually own a lot of stuff besides DVDs. Probably in terms of monetary value, the thing I own that might be worth the most may just be the set of original trilogy DVDs, which is the ones that have got the original versions on them and the special editions.
Oh yeah, I got them as well. The LaserDisc ports, aren't they?
Yeah, I was talking to Kyle at Tumbling Saber about this by email, and I sent him the links to the ones because he was saying on the show that he didn't even know. I realized he didn't even know they were a thing. So I looked them up. And in America, they sell for about $100 each.
Wow.
I mean, they've obviously gone up a fair bit in value. I don't know how many of them they made of each one. So it's hard to say.
Yeah.
In terms of sentimental value, I've got a ticket for. Remember, I talked to, I don't know if it was the last time or the time before, about going to see the media screening of Phantom Menace.
Yeah. And Anthony Daniels was there.
Yeah, the ticket for that, I don't know what it is about it. It's not signed by anybody or anything like that, but it just, I keep quite fond memories of that evening. So I took a friend with me.
In your underwear?
We were in the Leicester Square Empire, so we weren't allowed to be in our underwear. Even though I asked.
Get the ticket in your underwear.
Oh, right. like I say, apart from that, I don't really have a lot of, you know, Star Wars stuff besides the obvious. Like, you know, I've got the Blu-rays and... I've got the game. I've got the Battlefront game. I've actually got the Battlefront game on Xbox and PlayStation.
Wow.
Because I had vouchers for a shop and I couldn't decide what to spend the money on. And it was, I realized I had friends who played both formats. So I just bought both games. So I bought one of each.
Good idea.
Yeah. I've only played one of them since then. So I don't know how well that's worked out, but so it goes. Apart from that, like I say, I don't really, I have a couple of nice Star Wars t-shirts. which are quite quite nice. One of them is the Luke and Vader Bespin, you know, that really iconic sort of shot of them sort of crossing lightsabers.
Yeah, that's good.
You know what I mean? And I've got one which is the cover of the Darth Vader comic, the first Darth Vader comic from the new Marvel run. I've got that, the cover of that as a T-shirt, and that's a really nice print.
Well, I was thinking that,
I think that's it, really.
What you guys were saying, when I first saw this email, I thought, I don't actually own a great deal of Star Wars stuff. And then I realised that that's largely inaccurate, and I actually own quite a bit. One of the coolest things I've got is a pillowcase from a bed set that I got in about 1980 when there was a promotional tour of the Darth Vader suit.
Yeah.
And a young woman dressed as Leia. They were doing the tour. And in order to meet Vader, you had to buy something. So my mum bought me the pillowcase. And I've still got that. And it's still in absolute pristine condition. And then I... as you would have seen if you'd seen the tweet that went out of our shop before the podcast started, the little screen grab we put out every week, I also have a Stormtrooper helmet, which I only wear to take photographs of myself when we're doing podcasts. But it's now sitting here looking at me. So monetarily, I don't really have anything of value unless that pillowcase is worth some money. But sentimentally, I've got three photographs from Robert Watts, who was a line producer on the original trilogy and on Raiders of the Lost Ark. All of them are signed, and they're all photographs from the set.
Yeah.
Of him helping fit a guy in a Wampa suit and things like that. They're awesome. My wife knew Robert a few years ago.
Okay.
So every time they saw each other, he would ask after me and present her with another photograph signed to me, which I thought was lovely because he'd never met me.
Yeah,
but he had no reason to remember who I was. But that sentimentally, I think that they're probably the most valuable things to me.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Oh, I have a kyber crystal. I forgot to mention that. Sorry.
Do you? If we're talking about stuff we use every day, then the speeder bike, obviously.
Yeah. Oh, and I've got the large Death Star.
Oh,
the second one.
Yeah, the second one.
Of course, that makes sense.
They made a prototype and they said, you look after it in case it fails and we'll come and get it. It's a bit like the thing in Contact. They always make one. Why make one when you can make two for twice the price?
Yeah.
So yeah, I kept it at the bottom of my... It's covered in froglets, but that's another story.
That's fair enough.
Okay, Stacey, that was a great question. Thank you very much for that.
Yeah.
Really made me think about what I've got, and I may have to put everything I've got in one place. That would make a lot of sense.
I sense a collect-off with you and Jeremy.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. We're publishing... at the time you're listening to this, it will already be on our YouTube channel, but Volume 1 of The Collector is going up tomorrow.
Oh, awesome. I look forward to watching that.
Is Jeremy's... It's like an unboxing video and then a little bit of a restoration video.
Oh, wow.
And then it ends with the start of his next restoration project. It's really cool. He's done a great
job. That's really awesome. That sounds great. I look forward to it.
Hmm.
Got a lot of stuff now. It's awesome.
That is good.
Okay, moving on in listener comms. We had a comment on a YouTube version of our podcast that went up.
Yes.
From Catherine H, who says we were talking about Rey's fate in the new trilogy, weren't we, last week?
Yeah.
And Catherine commented that she believes that Rey will suffer the fate of a reverse Amidala. So instead of Anakin Skywalker turning to the dark side and co-ruling the Empire, she sees Rey taking the role of Padme, but in a larger scale, by ruling the New Republic / First Order / whatever you want to call it, by bringing peace and justice to the galaxy with a new Grey Order of the Jedi. Rey will go on to rule the galaxy for longer than 20 years.
It's interesting. I don't know if I see it.
Yeah, I mean,
I both like and dislike elements of this as a resolution for various reasons. But I don't see it quite panning out that way.
Well, the Grey Jedi thing we've mentioned, haven't we?
But yes.
This seems to frame the Grey Jedi Order as something negative that she'll
almost
rule the galaxy.
Dilutes the
New Republic.
Dilutes the light, maybe.
Too political.
Yeah, it doesn't sound right. Yeah,
they're going to be staying away from politics like a...
Oh, yes, good point.
They will not go anywhere near it at the barge pole.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I like what she's saying. It's very interesting, but it won't happen.
I like the idea of the Grey Jedi Order, but I don't know if she would rule the galaxy as the Jedi Order, because they seem to be more servants of the Force, don't they? Well, the Jedi seem to be servants of the Force. I don't know.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting.
I don't see it, but it's definitely an interesting idea.
Yeah, that her path will echo Padme's more than it will.
Yeah, Anakin's. It's really interesting.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. Okay, that's pretty cool. Right, thank you, Catherine.
Yeah, cool. Thanks for that.
So one from Kyle over at Tumbling Saber.
Hey, Kyle.
Actually, two from Kyle over at Tumbling Saber, because he emailed me earlier in the week and then must have forgotten and emailed me again today.
Okay, cool.
So this week, I don't have a question, but I do want you guys to wax poetic about the one thing that annoys the hell out of you more than anything else in Star Wars. Everyone has something that gets on their nerves, so what sticks in your craw?
My one is really poor mistakes.
Such as?
They are replete in Star Wars, aren't they? Well... I know I read an article once that there's 600 in the New Hope of really bad filming, like where the people hit their heads and walking through the CGI. We're talking about the biggest budget movies ever, or not the original ones, but now, and they've still got mistakes left, right, and centre, and it just kind of annoys me, really bugs me, and also sort of holes in the plot where they've as time goes on, the lore is becoming much more set in stone, so you're less likely to make mistakes. But the things like Ben Kenobi saying your dad's dead, and then they decide to bring Darth back and, make Darth the father, and then all of a sudden, you said you killed my father.
Yeah, so
and it's like, I'm trying to protect. Yeah, they annoy me because they're obviously...
I would say... The really bad stereotype aliens, like the rickshaw alien, is it a droid or an alien in episode
there's
2?
There's a droid pulling a rickshaw in episode 2.
That's pulling a rickshaw.
Yeah.
That's like, oh, Rocky. I'm like, come on.
And Watto.
Yeah, Watto.
He bothers me less because he's supposed to be this kind of backwater huckster. So I kind of... It kind of fits a bit. Yeah, it kind of fits like a sort of a bit.
There's something insensitive in there, isn't there?
Sorry. His nose.
I was thinking more on like Newt Gunray.
Yeah, they are dreadful.
They're going for the ventilation shaft.
Yeah, that is just dreadful, isn't it?
My friend Brad pointed out to me that that Pal Pacino is not a million miles away from Newt Gunray because of there's a certain breathiness behind it.
Right.
That, it's... Hoo-ah versus he's going out the ventilation shaft.
They are awful.
Yeah, those
things. CGI or are they puppets?
No, they were puppets.
The Nemoidians?
Yeah, they were extraordinarily complex puppets.
Aren't they? Because they look
radio
like
CGI. Control.
I assumed it was people.
Yeah, it's people.
Inside,
people
with elaborate costumes of it. Oh, with animatronics.
Yes, it's people inside, but the heads are like animatronic, radio controlled animatronic puppet heads.
Like because they look so 80s. Good.
Yeah,
they look like bad CGI.
Yeah. The late 80s, early 90s Turtles movies, like those.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Really fluid movements.
Very much so.
Okay.
Very clever. The thing that bugs me, it doesn't stick in my craw, so it doesn't really take anything away from the films for me, but the amount of times they flop an image in Star Wars, which is to say they film it from left to right and then flip it over so it's right to left.
Oh, okay.
And that stands out to me.
Yeah. I saw something the other day where it did that and it was really obviously the same shot multiple times.
Yeah.
And there was no, it was very unapologetically so. And bizarrely, I think it was a cartoon as well.
Oh, yeah. I did a piece on Talk Star Wars a couple of months ago about this because I'd spotted one in The Force Awakens.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure it was just done as an homage because there doesn't seem to be any need to do it. Usually you follow the action. If the action flows...
Inside Starkiller base, wasn't
it, it's inside Starkiller, yeah. And it's Rey. It's Rey is back to front. And she runs down... She runs from the right of screen to the left of screen, waits for a squad of stormtroopers to run past, and then she runs off towards the left of screen. Yeah. That's all flopped over. Because everything on her costume is on the opposite side, and the stormtroopers, the back of their armor's reversed.
I know where you're talking about now. It's when she's first broken out of her cell, isn't it? And Ren's just realized for the first time. Yeah, I know the one. I know the bit you mean.
And I'm sure that was just done as an homage, but the most egregious use of it was in Return of the Jedi on the skiff when they're when they're out with Jabba's sail barge.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see Mark Hamill and Harrison Ford are very clearly mirror images of themselves.
Right.
And then there's one that did sneak past me. It wasn't until I was writing this piece for the site that I actually did a bit of research and found when Obi-Wan and Darth Vader clash on the first Death Star.
Yeah.
They repurpose a shot of Darth Vader approaching Obi-Wan from left to right.
Yeah.
And then later on, they sync the same shot into the duel.
Ah,
and they flip it so his chest panel is all in reverse. You know, you can have a look at these things, and that can drive me mad a little bit.
Yeah.
When I'm picking them out.
It's a bit cheap, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are we considering midichlorians to be an obvious one?
Yeah, that's too obvious, isn't it?
Yeah, fair enough. I did want to come up with something that was a little different.
Here's an awesome one.
The one that gets, it's like I said, the thing about the accents and stuff doesn't annoy me so much as just like, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Someone got away with that?
Yeah.
There was one that didn't even make it through the special editions. It had to wait for the Blu-ray, which is Vader's lightsaber wasn't coloured in on the Death Star after he killed Obi-Wan.
When he's pointing towards it.
Every time the new version of the film came out, I would think, have they put that right? And then one day on the Blu-ray, there it was, all sorted out for me.
Yeah, and all they bother to do is make a little firework explosion on the Death Star. That looks good now. Yeah. And they don't do the stuff that really bugs you.
Mm. Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay, right. Second part of Carl's communication this week is, hi, Mark, for the next podcast, here's another Would You Rather for the TSW crew.
Okay.
Mm. Would you rather participate in a pod race or fly through an asteroid field? Secondly, I'll ask the same question as I asked on our show last week. When you're aboard the Falcon with TIE fighters on your tail, who's your pilot during the getaway, Han or Rey? So let's mash these two together.
Okay.
Pod race or asteroid field?
Right.
And
field.
Okay.
Asteroid field?
Yeah,
me too. I assume that we would. So if you're in an asteroid field in the Falcon... Who's driving? Han or Rey?
Han.
Yeah, Han.
Only because Rey, you can't rely on her force-sensitive bit to be around all the time. She's only got to forget, you know, she hasn't got the natural ability of Han or the bit. Well, I should change that. She hasn't got the experience of Han. What she has is innate ability, but that could waver and go. And then you'll wham, bam, smash into an asteroid or get eaten by one of those big worms.
Yeah, the boys on Tumblr and Sober gave interesting reasons why they would have Rey on. I think I'm probably going to side with them.
What was the reasoning?
I'll go with Rey. The obvious reason.
Well, she's hot.
She's gorgeous.
Yeah, but we're not allowed. You told us quite as clearly we're not allowed to bring sex into any of these podcasts. That's why I'm naked. Yeah.
I said,
Steve, he said, you and I couldn't have sex during the podcast.
Oh, no, that was it. Yeah.
We're not doing that again.
Which is fair enough.
I had to cut out at least 3 minutes of a podcast because of that.
Oh, so you're quite happy to die?
I could go twice.
You want a couple of minutes with Rey first?
I don't think you'll die. She's a Jedi.
I'm going to stick with Han, even though she is gorgeous.
Yeah,
on the grounds that he's had more experience with the ship than she has. Yeah. Now, she's got some skill, very clearly, but he knows what that ship is capable of on the level of pushing it too far, whereas she's only just jumped into it, managed to get... She's got some, you know, incredible moves out of it. Obviously, she's done moves that he's not been able to do.
Mm.
But only in atmosphere, Rob.
In atmosphere, this is also
true. He's never done vacuum.
That's true.
Although, I'd like to see her with a vacuum. Maybe in a maid outfit.
And Mark's panicking and wanting to move on.
But no, in a vacuum, I've got no proof that she would perform. The physics is all wrong. She would be wham bam straight in an asteroid.
Yeah.
I've never seen Han in atmosphere much, apart from Bespin.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's true, really, actually, isn't it? We've only really ever seen him sort of parking.
I'd still spoon Han, so I'm quite happy sitting next to him. He's eye candy.
Yeah.
Should have seen that one coming. All right, a quick question from Reese, who asks a question that I can really talk about quite intelligently this week.
Oh, marvelous.
It's relating to how Maz got the Skywalker lightsaber.
Okay.
Very brief. Do we know if the new Lego series is canon? We touched on this briefly last week, didn't we?
Yes.
It is not canon, but it does have canon elements.
Yes.
But I watched it. I saw the first episode of the show.
Oh, are they out?
Kind of.
Ah, okay.
Holocron. It's really good.
Oh, really?
It's really good. It's really... I mean, clearly, it's aimed at a very young audience, but it's a lot of fun. It's very, very charming.
Okay.
And I do think that they are going to go somewhere near what we...
That's good. I mean,
last week.
Have you ever seen the standalone Lego Star Wars movies?
The little short stories? No, I haven't.
Yeah, they're really charming. I can't remember if I talked about it here or elsewhere, but there's one where they bring Darth Maul in, and he's singing his own theme tune, but he's just inserting the word "awesome" into it every verse about how brilliant he is, and it's basically like him and Vader just trying to one up each other for an hour, and it's hilarious.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, so the stuff already quite charming. So the idea of it being, a whole series is quite intriguing.
It's good. I really liked it. The whole Vader Palpatine thing is brilliant. It's so Robot Chicken. It's really funny.
I was wondering if they'd go down that route because for the other Lego Star Wars, the standalone movies, they had that sort of dynamic.
Yeah, it's great. I really enjoyed it. I had a big smile on my face all the way through, but I was thinking. I do think that there's going to be something to this Kyber Crystal thing. And there is some news. I don't know if it's made the final show notes, actually, about episode 8.
Yeah, I know the stuff you mean. It sounded a bit hokey to me. It's down the bottom.
Yeah, well, we'll get there. Yeah. Let's not blow the ending.
Okay.
But, yeah, Reese, no, the Lego series isn't canon. Yes, it does have some canon elements to it. And I think that they might sneak a couple of new canon elements just under the radar so that when they come into play later on,
could well be.
They've already snuck them in there. Yeah, it's good though. I highly recommend it. I did enjoy it.
Mm.
We had a quick message from Paul this week as well, our friend Paul Small Spleen.
Hello, Paul.
Small Spleen.
He has got the smallest spleen in the world.
He's been sending me an awful lot of Star Wars links the past couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Really getting a kick out of it as well. So he sent us a message saying, is Snoke a trick Lorophyte? So, Steve, do you want to take that?
How many fingers did he have?
He had multiple.
Did he have three?
No, he didn't. He had four.
Because aren't trick isn't was it Yoda and Yaddle, wasn't it?
Yes.
The grandmothers. And they were... Well, now, seen their try, three fingers. They both had three fingers. And isn't the second part chlorophyll, which is the part of plants that changes sunlight into energy and photosynthesis type stuff, and that's green.
Yes.
And Yoda and Yoda were both green. So is he green? Is he got three fingers? No. So
We don't know about the green part yet because he was in that bluish sort of hologram, wasn't he? So
he's got a blue hue.
But he had very humanoid features and humanoid ears, what was left of them.
Yeah.
So no, I don't think he's a...
No.
Trichlorophyte. But do you know what? I didn't realise that Yoda's species had been given a name until I got that email from Paul.
I'm not sure when it got it.
No, I don't know, because it was for the longest time they were rumoured to be the Wheels, weren't they, from the Journal of the Wheels, which was the opening thing of the book, the first book.
Yeah.
So this might be recent.
Hang on, because I've just had a look, because I've just found it on Wikipedia, the main one. But when you hit it, it's a circular link.
Right.
So it doesn't actually take you to a page that explains what it is.
Okay. It's on Wikipedia, though.
Is it?
Yeah.
I'm just checking now.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, okay.
But, Steve, that breakdown that you've given is incredibly insightful, and I think you're right. And I think that rules out Snoke from being
no results. Mm. No results for Trichlorophyte on Wikipedia. It's on the main wiki.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Let's have a look. Let's have a look at Yoda and see if there's anything under that. Yoda, mysterious species according to Wikipedia.
Oh, right.
I mean, okay. I'm only assuming about the green bit because chloro, but then chlorophyll.
Yeah.
It kind of makes sense. Yeah. Chloroform, I think, is a green gas. One of them's a green gas.
And I have seen Yoda using that.
What, the chloroform? when he, well, at that bar.
Come here, you
smell, it. Smell like ether, doesn't it?
A cold you have, tissues you need. And then you woke up 6 hours later.
Yeah, with him sitting next to you going,
touch you, I did.
Chug you must.
Oh, dear. All right, Paul, thanks for kicking that in. But, yeah, the other thing as well to bear in mind is that Nick Scanlon, the special effects guy, yeah, at the end of last year, he did say that Snoke is 7 feet tall.
Yes.
He said he has an idiosyncratic cranial structure as well, which we've all seen now from those wounds.
Yes.
So there must be something there to the height thing. Everybody's caught up in this, is he like a Wizard of Oz thing? Everyone thinks, oh, he must be really tiny, and that's why the hologram's huge.
Yeah.
No.
Well, that was one of the reasons that the idea of him being Plagueis did the rounds, because Plagueis
is immune.
In the old canon was immune, yeah. Mm. And immunes were quite large.
Yeah, and very thin. They had the squished heads, didn't
yes,
they?
Yes, exactly.
Flat heads.
Yeah. We've definitely got some backstory coming about Snoke. That's going to be exciting.
Yeah.
I was looking forward
to finding a bit more.
They wouldn't have put in the book, they wouldn't have put that he was old enough to see the Empire rise and fall unless there was some perspective coming to explain what context, you know.
Yeah, definitely. Exactly.
Yeah.
No, it's a good point.
All right, a quick one from Ads. Ads slid this in under the wire tonight because the show notes are already locked, but we got this. I've added this in. Question, lads, for the pod. Rogue One's Vader promises to show the character in a different light to the previous films. We've never seen him truly kick bum, because this is the before Darkseid. In a fight scene, is this his time? Are we going to see Yoda? Are we going to see Vader unleashed in this Rogue One movie? What do you think?
I think
I sincerely hope so.
Like killing a lot of gum.
Yeah, I have heard that. So I don't know how. Whether these rumours have any foundation, but there was a lot of talk that perhaps some of these reshoots were to tone down the Vader stuff. That sounds to me like that's fanboys wanting
to... Yeah, I would think that's wishful thinking.
Because that would turn everyone off the film, wouldn't it? Everyone wants a bit of gratuitous violence.
Mm.
We want an R rating Star Wars. That's 18 in the UK.
Yeah.
What I really do like the idea of is that Vader and... Ben Mendelsohn's character, is it Krennic?
Krennic.
They do not get along, apparently.
No, they don't. That's the impression I was given as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that come out in EW this week, and that was one of the little tidbits that came out, was that they are not friendly. So
they're similar to...
not friendly... or not friendly characters?
Not friendly with each other. Because it would seem that Krennic is looking to get into the Emperor's good graces, which makes him sound like a composition of Prince Shizor from Black Sun.
Yeah.
And who's the blue guy that you guys really like?
Thrawn.
Grand Admiral Thrawn.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's anything to that.
I don't know. It's interesting.
But yeah, unanimous ads. We do. We think Vader is really going to...
Oh, I hope so.
...take some names.
Kick bum and chew bubble gum.
I really, really, really hope so. I'll be very disappointed if he doesn't. I'll say that.
Yeah. No, I don't think you're going to be disappointed. I think we're all going to have our breaths taken away by this.
I sincerely hope so.
Okay. Thanks for all your emails and questions this week. They've been absolutely blinding. We're going to run off for a quick break. And then when we come back, our quick break this week is going to be the sponsorship promo spot from Tumbling Saber, the guys at Tumbling Saber, because they started running ours last week.
Love those guys.
They've just got theirs over to me this week, so that'll be in this episode. So stay tuned for that. When we come back, we'll have Connor's Corner featuring Leo.
Hey, James and Corey, what's your post-Star Wars chat routine?
I like to lie back on my bed and look up at the stars and remember the good old days when I had a roof.
To be perfectly honest, Kyle, I usually sit there and stare at the floor for a good 15 minutes before I either pass out on the spot or stagger to bed with a lit smoke.
Yow.
Yikes.
Well, guys, the science is in, and it tells us that doubling down on Star Wars talk has many healthy benefits, like a broader view, a more serious mind, and a possible increase in your midi-chlorian count. So once you're done listening to the fine gents on Talk Star Wars, you should check out the Tumbling Saber podcast.
It's our great white northern take, boot the galaxy far, far away.
Take off, eh, ya hoser?
Sorry, man.
The fact is that Tumbling Saber isn't just idle speculation. At Tumbling Saber, we go deep, man. We provoke thought and conversation. We move the needle.
So check us out on iTunes and Stitcher.
We're also active on Twitter. I'm Chop Rules Me with a Z.
Corey, I think it's a Z. I'm at Tumbling Saber on Twitter, by the way.
Isn't Zed dead? I'm pretty sure the cool kids hang out on Instagram and Facebook.
The kids are done with Facebook and Instagram, but you can find us there anyway. But that's not all.
Star Wars can drive even the sanest person mad with endless speculation. So join us as we ponder over the thousands of possible rabbit holes to travel down.
We love listener input on the Tumbling Saber podcast. So if there's anything you want to get off your chest, come lay your nagging questions and crazy theories at our feet. Our courteous and efficient staff is on call 24 hours a day to serve all your supernatural elimination needs.
I thought this was a Star Wars podcast?
Dude, we're giving away $1 million Canadian to the first person who gets the reference.
You better find out how many British pounds that's worth.
You shut your mouth over there.
All right, and we're back. So it's time now for Connor's Corner featuring Leo. So hello, Connor and Leo. And they greet us thusly.
Hello, gents.
Hello, gents. You're all well, I hope. That's not my question.
He's had his question. We need to put our foot down.
Moving on.
Yes, right. We're well. Thank you.
So we've had some big Rogue One news this week, which I'm sure you're all talking about already on the show. But as we've heard, we now have the name of Forrest Whitaker's character, and it's Saw Gerrera, a character from the Clone Wars, which, if I'm right, is still canon. Is Disney starting to mine the Clone Wars for characters? By the way, this is fine by me. There are some good ones in there to be used. Anyway, the big mistake that Lucas made, and not the only one, was the very early death of Darth Maul, a character who's gone on to become very popular with the fans. When you ask anyone about the prequels, most say, "I like Darth Maul, he was good." The YouTube Apprentice short has had 9 million views,
Wow. And
it even has a making-of film now. Is that true?
Yeah.
Wow.
Stunning, isn't it?
Yeah, that's incredible. And I mean, deserved, but wow.
Yeah.
Anyway, could we see a Darth Maul film? I know you've had the spin-off movie talk before, but they, Disney, have brought him back in Rebels, and there was a real spike in viewers from what I've heard. Seeing him before he gets those tattoos and his rise or, from a certain point of view, fall to the dark side could be a good watch. I know we all know how it ends for him, but the same could be said for, sorry, Steve, Han.
No!
It won't change it, Steve.
Well, I'm bringing it back.
It does seem like an untapped resource. He's a very interesting character. I think there are a total of 7 books about him, so someone out there likes him as much as I do. That reveal in episode 1, when the door opens and he ignites the second blade with the Duel of the Fates kicking in, is still superb and by far the best shot in the whole film. So come on, Disney, we want this one. Leo and I have had this discussion so many times on why it would have been better for Maul to have been the villain in episodes 1, 2, and 3. We look forward to hearing where you take this one. Still loving the show. May the Force be with you always, Connor and Leo.
Yeah. Superb nice. Question, as always. Thank you, Connor.
All right, so let me see if I can break this down. So we've got, first question, is Disney going to use the Clone Wars for more characters?
Yes, absolutely.
I think so.
To my mind, absolutely.
I think that's a good thing as well. It's a good way of doing fan service, and it gives us a chance to see some of the fates of some of the characters we thought might have kind of, you know, gone on to die. Like when, you know... Spoilers for Rebels, although it's been a while now. When Ahsoka turns up for the first time, you go, oh, that's where she went. And it sort of makes sense. Well, because obviously you've assumed at that point that she'd have had to die.
Yeah,
In Order 66. But then obviously the more canon stuff comes out, the less effective Order 66 looks.
Yeah, exactly.
Because everybody seems to have escaped it.
I think you've just hit the nail right on the head there, actually, Rob, with what you said.
Oh, really?
She's the money, Ahsoka.
Yeah.
She is the money for the...
Oh, yes, she should definitely be considered for some sort of appearance.
Consider the way they're going so far with Lucasfilm under the auspices of Kathleen Kennedy.
Yeah.
We've had Rey, now we've got Jyn.
Yep.
They're bringing back Mon Mothma. We've got a very female-centric Star Wars universe now.
Yeah.
Whereas in the old days, we only had Carrie. We only had Princess Leia to go on. Now that we are absolutely replete, we're spoiled now with female characters.
With good, good, yeah, and strong female characters as well.
If they do a spin-off movie with Ahsoka, they win everything.
Yeah, they I think you might be right there. Yeah, so
there's,
I mean,
there's no doubt in my mind that'll happen.
Then the other thing is, like, people still tease things, even if there's nothing confirmed. Because, I mean, we've now got the name of Donnie Yen's character, but there were people speculating he might be Kanan from Rebels.
Yes, yeah, I was one of those.
Because of the fate that befell him. Yeah, I mean, there's no reason why he couldn't be, still. Even though they've announced his name, he could be an alias.
Yeah.
But it's the fact that people will still try and fit those people in. Because obviously, otherwise, we wouldn't have had the Snoke Plagueis, and people still would not be... People would have let that drop after Hidalgo said it's not happening.
Yes, yeah.
But the fact that people are so desperate to retcon this stuff in, because as I've said before, we don't always want new. Sometimes we just want what we know in a new way.
Yeah. So, no, you're absolutely right. Of course, people like to slip into the things they know, nice and comfortable. And this character.
Sorry, Steve. I took your bit.
Even is though the one with brown white hair, by the way, Ahsoka.
She's
got the Twi'lek head tails.
Almost, yeah. She's like Shock T, isn't she? I can't think what the what the species is.
Oh yeah. Hang on.
I looked at this earlier.
She's awesome looking character. Really good design.
Togruta, is it?
Is it a Togruta?
I think so.
Okay.
She's
Hang on. Ahsoka Tano, a Togruta female. Yeah.
Yeah. But she's a great character as well. And it's nice because they've almost gone there. I don't know whether this is intentional or whether I'm reading too much into it, but Saw Gerrera was trained by Anakin.
Right.
This is what I've been hearing. I've seen all the Clone Wars episodes, but I can take it or leave it. I know that's going to upset Corey a little bit over at Tumbling Saber, but I can take it or leave it. But apparently Anakin was responsible for training Saw Gerrera. And his sister, wasn't it? His sister died in the Clone Wars.
Padawan, though.
Sorry, mate.
How could he have a Padawan if he wasn't a Jedi Master?
Who?
He's not Force sensitive, Saw Gerrera. He was a clone trooper, I think.
Do you mean Anakin?
Anakin. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the thing they did in the Clone Wars. Gave him an apprentice.
Oh, you mean Ahsoka? Sorry.
Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah. Oh, right. They didn't really address that head on, because he was really still an apprentice himself, wasn't he?
Yeah. Mm.
But I suppose
isn't it covered in the Clone Wars movie?
Yeah, but I was so distracted by the tiny hut baby thing and how bad it was.
Yeah, I've not seen it in a while, admittedly. But I feel like the reason he gets an apprentice is covered in that.
Yeah,
I can't be sure.
So yeah, I think they will dive back in to the deep end of the expanded universe, not just Clone Wars, but they. Rebels and start pulling in characters. Don't be surprised if we see Chopper or something in Rogue One.
Yeah, that'd be a really good one. Just even as a passing shot, you could just hear his voice.
Yeah,
because he's got a very distinctive sound, doesn't he?
Absolutely, it'll be something that leaps out of the fans, and it'll be like an Easter egg for the inner circle of the inner circle, won't it? The people that are really connected to the thing. But what about Darth Maul?
Yeah, so I'll break this into two parts as well then. So first question, would we want to see a Darth Maul spin-off standalone movie?
Yes, I would.
I'd
watch the hell out of that.
I've said this before. I'd like to see Darth Maul folded into an Obi-Wan movie, and that's where we're introduced to Ahsoka, maybe.
Okay.
In live action.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because you were saying you would like to see Obi-Wan come back and him and Ahsoka take on Darth Maul together.
Yeah, when Maul... It's that graphic novel that was written by Warren Fu that Obi-Wan is tracked by Darth Maul, so he finds him on Tatooine. When he gets there, he stumbles across Luke and realises what he's found, and then Maul has to die. I won't spoil the ending, but Maul has to die because no one wants that getting away from him.
Am I missing something, Mark? I was just about to moan about how the only problem with these films is you know how it's going to end because you know Maul doesn't die. Because you know how he dies.
This isn't canon by any stretch of the imagination. It was okay. It was an art project by some of the guys at LucasArts, I think. Or at least there were some concept artists from ILM that put this graphic novel together, and this was one of the stories.
Oh, okay.
And it's absolutely fantastic.
Right. Mm. But as far as a spin-off movie goes, it's marred with that same problem, isn't it? That you know that he doesn't snuff it.
Well, this will be Maul after
episode one.
So what? The consensus being that he didn't die in episode one.
He didn't die because he's appeared in the Clone Wars, and he's appeared in Rebels.
Yeah, but what did he do? Cut and put him back, stitch him back together.
Yeah, he had. It doesn't matter how you tell this; it sounds terrible. He had
no peepee.
He had legs made out of rubbish that he held together with the Force, and then he was given artificial like robot legs.
Do you mean garbage? Is that what we're talking
garbage.
About?
Garbage, yes, indeed.
Garbage or rubbish, yes.
It's both.
Okay. So he's got, like two yoghurt pots?
Well, yeah, slightly more than just two, because that would be unintentionally humorous, wouldn't it? All right, that's part one, Ron. What was part two?
Okay, so part two is, would you have wanted Darth Maul to be the villain of episodes 1, 2, and 3?
I think you couldn't have gone wrong with having Darth Maul in it all the way through. It would have been better than it was. It was best thing out of the film. So
I'm going to go contentious and go in a different direction. I would have liked to see Dooku as the villain in all three instead.
Because
he was a more complicated, more interesting character. Darth Maul was just an angry dude who could flip and stuff, and he was an awesome character in the film. If I was going to have one person in the entire trilogy rather than a mix, I would want it the other way around. I'd want Christopher Lee in all three.
Yeah, that was the knot I was trying to untangle whilst I was thinking. I think you're right, Rob. I would. Well, in a way, I agree with you, Rob. I think Maul served a purpose because Maul was a blunt instrument in episode one. He would not be capable of delivering. The character wouldn't have been capable of delivering the responsibilities that Dooku had in episode 2 and 3.
No,
He wasn't complex enough. And that door swings both ways. I don't think Dooku could have pulled off everything that Maul needed to.
Oh, definitely not. He was a very old man even then. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, if you would have gone down, if you'd gone down rewriting things to fit and you had to have one of the two to cover the entire trilogy, Dooku would have been who I'd wanted.
Yeah.
Of the two.
I would probably try and cheat a little bit and say I would have been happier to have Maul perform his duties in one and then have Dooku revealed and use Maul as his apprentice.
Human shield? Oh.
No, as a human shield. No, Dooku used Asajj Ventress.
Oh, okay.
Almost like an Inquisitor.
Yeah.
Because you know what Palpatine is like? As soon as one of his wannabes is injured, he's looking to trade up straight away, isn't he? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't be beyond him.
I want a younger one.
Hoo-wah. It wouldn't have been it wouldn't have been beyond Palpatine to have downgraded Maul to meat puppet.
Yeah, I agree.
Great questions, Connor and Leo.
Yeah, really good.
Absolutely superb. Thank you for that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Twitter poll result time.
All right.
This has been incredibly popular this week.
Yeah, it does seem to be.
Those numbers on the show notes are out of date. So let's just do the question, then we'll go over the breakdown of the tweet activity. We asked last week in our Twitter poll, would you like to see Hayden Christensen return to Star Wars? You had three options. Yes, you'd like to see him return as a Force Ghost, or yes, you'd like to see him return in a Clone Wars film, like a spin-off, one of these Star Wars stories.
Yep.
And your third option was no way. Quite a surprising result. Have you seen the result of it, chaps?
I didn't. I wanted to hold myself.
I haven't seen the final one. I saw it this morning.
Final result was, yes, people want to see Hayden Christensen return to Star Wars as a Force Ghost. 65% of people said they wanted to see him as a Force Ghost.
Wow.
12% wanted a Clone Wars film. 23% said no way. 131 people voted.
Wow.
Which is about twice what we got the week before. It reached 1,777 people.
Blimey.
Or the 176 total engagements. So this was a popular question, to say the very least. We got a couple of, as people retweeted this out and they were quoting and they were putting their own little additions to it, Randomitable, that's a difficult one to say, at Randomitable on Twitter said simply, Christ, no. He didn't want to see Aiden Christensen return. And at the Justin Smoke said, not unless he's playing a corpse that doesn't talk, not a ghost, just a body prop, that's it, no, no Whiny Vader. He was desperate to use every single character in that tweet to sort of convey how he felt.
Yeah, didn't he?
No! It was no gate, yeah. So what a great response. Thank you to everyone that took part in that. It was that's very, very rewarding, isn't it? And I'm glad that people share my view that, yes, he should return.
Yes.
Of course.
I think we talked about it. I mean, Steve nailed it last week. It wasn't the stuff that's wrong with Anakin Skywalker is not down to Hayden Christensen's acting so much as the dialogue he's given.
Yep. Mm. He did what was asked of him at the end of the day.
Quite so. Yes,
yeah. Indeed. All right, I'm just about to publish the next one. So, this week's Twitter poll. Could Rey fall to the dark side and become the villain in the next Star Wars trilogy? Yes, it is unavoidable. Or no way, is she a Jedi, yo. So you got two choices this week. I'm just going to go to my drafts. Where are my drafts?
I've got another one. Can't we have a third option?
No, because I've written it. No, we might be able to.
Well, she returns to the Atflat.
And what flat
just leads a life of solitude. And cooking.
Solitude and cooking.
In the Atflat.
Flat at, you mean?
Yeah, the flat at.
I still love that.
That was great, wasn't it?
Yeah, I really love that.
That was Reese, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Could Rey fall to the dark side? So do you want me to add that third option, Steve?
Yes. She returns to a life of solitude and humble cooking in the flat at.
Okay. Returns to a life of
solitude and puppet making.
Right, I do have a limit on letters.
What?
Returns
to sender.
Returns life of solitude. And that doesn't make sense. Can we just have two answers?
Yeah, do it. Just do it. Ruin my fun. Go on, I don't care.
It's just that your fun is way too complicated.
Your typing was making it a very drawn out.
It's gone.
Question. It's done.
Pinned to our profile. Steve's, if you want Steve's third option, then quote the tweet and just put in there that you want her to return to flat at.
Yeah.
And live the life of solitude with puppet making.
Otherwise, the new one is out. Pinned to the profile.
Going right, I'm on that. It now.
Right.
I mean, Luke, really. I mean, yeah. I mean, he was yes and no at the same time for a while. So she might walk that wobbly line for a while.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what we're going to see.
Yeah. I think it's certainly going to be a theme of will she, won't she? We've covered it before. I think that's definitely on the cards.
Absolutely.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Let's take five. And then when we come back, we're going to have some Star Wars news, starting with a whole.
This is like a sweatshop because you tell the listeners that we're having breaks and they must think, God, they're well looked after.
Yes.
But really, as soon as you say these words, we have to start on again.
No.
I'm going to speak to the union.
We're all going to sit down. We're going to have a little break, cup of tea, some pastries.
Yeah, of course we are.
We'll be right back.
Hi there. This is Gloria Garcia, the Jakku defender in Star Wars, The Force Awakens. And we're listening to Talk Star Wars Podcast.
And we're back. Stephen,
that was lovely, that. That was really, that break, I so needed that.
Don't ruin, second break. Don't ruin the illusion.
Didn't even have the time to scratch my behind.
Your posterior. Right, let's get started with some Star Wars Celebration news. So we have some Celebration news in the Episode 8 and Rogue One sections of the news also.
Yep.
We just wanted to let you know, dear listeners, that we are planning a pre-celebration episode of the podcast that we're going to record on the 7th of July. So we want to hear from you what you're excited about for Celebration. If you've got any advice for us on that handler convention, because I've not been to one before. And is there anything that you want us to do? Set us challenges. Steve will do anything you asked him to do. Whatever you want, just let us know by emailing us at talkstarwarsinfo@gmail.com. We will be joined on the episode that we record on the 7th of July. It was going to hit iTunes on the 11th. We're going to be joined by...
Mark Hamill.
No, Andy.
Dan.
Andy and Steve. Now, if you are a long-time listener of the podcast...
Andy and Steve, I'm already here.
Sorry.
Am I even part of this podcast?
I'm sorry. I thought you were still on your break.
Yeah.
I thought you'd gone off your little,
be a fine thing.
Your pee break. We will be joined by Andy and Paul, who, if you're a long-term listener of the podcast or you've gone back and you've listened to everything from episode one, you'll be familiar with, because they were in the earlier episodes. They are our podcasting partners of old from the Movie Geeks Filmcast days. So we're all going to Celebration together, so they're going to jump on and have a chat to us about what we expect, what we're looking forward to, so on and so forth. So you can send your tips and questions and whatever to talkstarwarsinfo@gmail.com. It's talkstarwarsinfo@gmail.com. Okay, the schedule came out yesterday, or at least part of it. Did you see that?
I did not.
I glanced over it, yes.
I've not been interested because I'm not going to be able to go.
Yes. Oh, Rob, we'll let you know what it's like.
Yeah, I'm sure you will.
Well, there are things, because you're a VIP, Rob, you are going to get some additional services.
Wait, Mark, so you're saying if I'm a Talk Star Wars VIP, which you can do by visiting the support page on talkstarwars.co.uk,
indeed,
then I'll be privy to access to information that I wouldn't otherwise be.
Indeed.
Oh, wow, that sounds great. If I hadn't already subscribed, I would definitely do that right now.
You two are the worst salesman ever.
Listen, you sound like my boss.
Go to talkstarwars.co.uk/support or another moose dies.
Wow.
That's how you handle the listeners, Rob.
Steve, you seem to be really targeting our Canadian listeners, Steve. Any particular reason?
I like the way you indicated that we'd already killed a moose.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. You don't mess with off chance. You did a preemptive moose kill.
Always have a moose head ready.
Oh, mental.
Oh, dear. Yeah, like both of these fine gentlemen have just said, if you go to talkstarwars.co.uk/support, become a Talk Star Wars sponsor, you'll immediately qualify to become a VIP, and you will get our exclusive feed, the VIP exclusive feed. So what you'll get access to on the day, there's a few things I'm not going to announce just yet, but you will be kept up to speed with what's going on in real time at Celebration. So you'll get to see all the problems that Steve causes for us on the day through being naked. So here's a few things that came out yesterday on the schedule. So on the Friday, the first day.
Yep.
11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. We've got an hour with Mark Hamill.
Nice.
On a speed bike, apparently, in the background.
Okay.
What the hell was that?
Sorry, that was my road again. And you know what's scary, listeners, is I'm sitting halfway across the room now. I sit in a completely different place than I used to when I first started doing recordings here. I sit so much further away, and yet I am still subject to this stuff from these folks.
Yeah, that's the right F word to use on this show.
Yeah.
You can beat that, Mark. I dropped the C-bomb there.
Did you really?
Yes. I forgot we weren't in Dark Side.
Do you know what? I won't even find that. And I'm not going to find that now until I edit this probably Saturday morning.
That's amazing.
And I'll find that and I think, oh yeah, he did do that. I'll snip that section out and I'll put that in the dark side because that's all free content, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so 11:30 till 10 till 12:30 is an hour with Mark Hamill. So that's going to be interesting. Nice. Stories and whatever, and him calling things by their original names, which I always like when he talks about broccoli face and whatever. 4 p.m. until 5 p.m. is Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, the panel. Kathleen Kennedy, Gareth Edwards.
Nice.
This is the thing I'm looking forward to the most for the whole weekend. Very excited about that.
And can you are you guaranteed to get into these things, Mark?
No.
You have to queue up.
Yes.
Like a son of a bitch.
I've got a plan, though, don't worry.
Okay.
I'm going to take some cable ties. We're going to cable tie Paul's hands and feet together. And we're going to prop him up in place. And then we'll go off and have some lunch. And then when we come back, we'll just cut in.
You're going to at one of your friends.
Yeah. Going to flat at him.
You're going to flat at him. Oh man! I'm kind of glad I'm not going now. You guys sound awful.
Yeah, but you would love this though. Between 8:30 and 11 p.m., Star Wars: A New Hope. A screening of Star Wars: A New Hope.
Oh, okay. I thought it's like there was a panel about it. I'm pretty sure I know the stuff there is to know.
It's in the time travel hall. I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, nice.
So on Saturday, midday to 1 p.m., the creatures, droids, and aliens of Star Wars: The Force Awakens. That's going to be interesting. I bet Neil Scanlon's there.
Almost certainly.
4 p.m. to 6 p.m., Star Wars Rebels Season 3. This is where I live stream everything to Kyle, Corey, and James. Well, James, I don't think, has started Rebels yet, but Kyle and Corey will be very jealous when we get to see new episodes of Rebels. And then 9 to 11:30 p.m., The Force Awakens.
Nice. A screening of that.
A screening of Force Awakens, yeah. By then, Steve will be well and truly naked.
Yep.
Sunday, 11 till midday, Carrie Fisher, Princess Diaries, and 1 till 2 in the afternoon, Ray Park, Unleashed. He's always entertaining.
Is he just going to go around the room just kicking people to death?
I think he is, but he does bring lots of kids up on stage and teaches them how to use lightsabers and things.
Kicks them to death.
And then he beats them up because,
Yeah,
who's going to stop him, really?
Because life isn't fair, kids.
Has he got his double ender?
Oh.
Oh, my.
Oh, my.
The other thing the VIPs get in, I don't know whether I should say.
Cryptic.
Some news that's kind of tangentially related to The Force Awakens. Not really Force Awakens news, but makingstarwars.net has an excerpt from Life Debt, the new book coming out by Chuck Wendig in July.
Yes.
And the excerpt suggests that Leia can sense Ben when she is pregnant with him.
Okay. Now, that's interesting because I would have assumed that it was going to bridge the gap between Bloodline and Force Awakens because I thought they were being released in timeline order, but this is obviously between Aftermath and Bloodline.
Yeah, well, this is part of the Aftermath storyline, I imagine, because it's Aftermath Life Debt, isn't it? So,
yes. Oh, yes, of course it is, yes.
Rob? Dramatic reading of the excerpt from Chuck Wendig's book.
All right.
Life Debt.
Sounds good. Okay.
Far away. All right. Steve, you can enjoy this if it's the first time. This starts from this, right? Yes.
All right. This goes beyond all that. This is something separate from her. It isn't a physical feeling. It's all around her. It suffuses her like the perfume from a jungle of flowers. As such, she is suddenly aware of her child's mind and spirit. She senses pluck and wit and steel blood and a keen mind. And by the blood of Alderaan, is this one going to be a fighter? Wait. He? It's a boy. It's a boy.
Oh, that's beautiful. That was a thing.
Here's a question.
Yeah.
So I've just had reading back through this. I didn't see the bloody word he anywhere in that bit.
No.
And then suddenly she just goes, he? Like, what?
Yeah, I think that's it. I think that is it. The only thing I don't like about that is that line, by the blood of Alderaan.
Yeah.
It's like...
dun, 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 fruit, dun, 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 brand, dun, dun. worst song in the universe.
It's very, very Galaxy Quest, that line, isn't it? Right, Rogue One, A Star Wars Story news. Darth Vader was confirmed for Rogue One, a Star Wars story in November by a little site called talkstarwars.co.uk. And now, today, the rest of the world has caught up.
Nice.
Yeah. But it could have gone the other way, though, and I wouldn't have been mentioning my prediction in November at all. Something that came out on EW today was very interesting. Anthony Bresnikan said that Vader would be played by multiple people and Spencer Wilding would only be one of them. So I don't know whether that means that it's going to be...
Mask off.
I mean, that doesn't matter, does it? Because Edward James Olmos, no, that's rubbish.
The, James Earl Jones?
The other guy out of Field of Dreams. Thank you, Mark. You just said his name.
James Earl Jones.
James Earl Jones. He's playing the main... It's, Darth Vader's all about the voice. It doesn't matter who's in the costume. I could do it.
That's true. That's true. I think we if it's true that we're going to get more than one actor, it means mask off, surely.
Well, he said that there's no Hayden Christensen categorically.
That puts a damper on my plan then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think what we might be looking at is these multiples might be Spencer Wilding for like the vanity shots, and then you'll have a stuntman. Like Bob Anderson was a stuntman in 77. So and he
you
did
need a pointy person.
You need what, sorry?
You need somebody who's very pointy.
Someone who can do pointing.
Yeah, like the Green Cross coat. Because he's wearing a mask, he has to use animated sort of gesticulation, doesn't he? So he is very... If you can imagine Darth Vader, he's always pointing at someone. I'd give you the squashy throat thing if you keep on.
Don't start with the squashy throat.
Pointing his finger. Because you can't see where he's looking. He's probably sticking his tongue out at them.
He probably is.
But it went quiet and I thought I'd lost you. I just wasn't being funny. Sorry, I apologise. I wasn't funny enough. We should have had your own break.
You brought it all back from the brink, Steve.
We should never have had that tea break.
It took me off the ball.
It's all gone horribly wrong, yeah.
Okay, well, there you go. Darth Vader confirmed for Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. Also in Rogue One news, footage was shown at the License Expo in Vegas this week, and reportedly it looked good. Which is,
I bet,
unsurprising. And there's a lot of speculation that we'll get the same footage at Celebration next month.
Awesome. Nice.
So I'm hoping that there'll be some really good stuff there and it might put this reshoot thing to bed. Something that did just occur to me, actually, was the images that were released of the key characters in Rogue One this week.
Yes.
Particularly Forrest Whitaker. He looked very different to the way Saw Gerrera looked in the first trailer.
I think that was genius. That was deliberate to me. Right. The fact that they called him Castro, didn't they?
That was the name that a couple of weeks ago was kind of floating around, wasn't it? So yeah. Do you think that was all designed to hide Saw Gerrera?
Absolutely deliberate to hide Saw Gerrera. I think it was absolute genius.
That is interesting.
Because people kind of made the link after the fact. They went, oh, yeah, of course, Gerrera is a bit like Guevara, who was kind of, you know, is associated with communism. Obviously, Castro is a big, big pro-communist guy. There's a kind of thematic link between Castro and Guevara. So they were kind of, there's a theory that they were alluding to that, you know. Which is pretty clever. If that's true, that's pretty clever.
Yeah, I wonder how much of that is by design and how much of that was poorly interpreted by the people claiming to have the leaks, the inside track. But
yeah, maybe.
I don't know. It's cool though. I love everything about this film. I think it's really shaping up to be a bloody strong entry.
I think it's going to be something that bites us on the bums and you're like, wow, where did that come from?
Yeah,
there's something. Now, one of you two guys,
I hope so.
I can't remember which it was of you that when we did the trailer breakdown from Rogue One, one of you pointed out that Jin was in handcuffs.
And it was Steve.
Steve, you spotted that
she was cuffed. He spots women in handcuffs faster than anybody else.
Yeah, exactly.
He also puts women in handcuffs probably more often than he should. So Jin Erso, Jin Erso in Rogue One, played by Felicity Jones. is an outlaw who clashed with both the Rebellion and the Empire. And they're saying she now has a chance to clear her ledger of past wrongs by leading a mission for the to secure the plans to the Death Star. So, Steve, your observation that she was cuffed in that trailer is pretty on the money.
Hang on. Yeah.
She's an enemy to both sides when they recruit her.
Mm. Yeah.
We're also hearing a little bit of that about Forrest Whitaker's Saw Gerrera as well, that he is, even though
redeeming himself,
his interests are aligned with the Rebellion, he is apart from them. So
yeah,
perhaps he's doing stuff the wrong way. And in fact, I was interested to read this. I don't know if you can see that on the show notes, Rob. Forrest Whitaker is playing Clone War character Saw Gerrera.
Yep.
Who was also mentioned in Bloodline.
I don't remember hearing. I don't remember seeing it. But I don't doubt that it's there. I just don't remember that.
The line, apparently, I heard it on Nerdist News today.
Okay.
They make a reference to his the actions taken by his partisan group. He's got slightly more aggressive militia. Yeah.
He's got a rep.
And that's just so we know he survives up until at least 6 years before The Force Awakens because of the events of Bloodline, which is very interesting. So also we touched on this earlier. Director Orson, he has a name now, Orson Krennic, wants to get in the good graces of the Emperor without f***ing off Darth Vader. I'll probably bleep that out. As we mentioned briefly earlier, this does sort of suggest to me a melding of a couple of characters from canon.
Yeah.
One of which is the Prince of Black Sun.
Yes.
Trying to ingratiate himself with the Emperor. Right. Jumping back on the Rogue One news.
We're still on that, aren't we?
EW released a bunch of character profiles and photographs this week. The only one that was missing, the character photograph, was Mads Mikkelsen's Galen Erso. Now, they confirmed that his name is Galen Erso.
Yep.
So he's definitely Jin's dad.
Yep.
But they just released a photograph of the actor in his civvies. And they're holding that character reveal back, and I'm not sure why.
He's modified in some way.
You think?
I reckon. I think so, yeah.
Or is he going to be in an Imperial costume?
Well, they're doing a Luke. And they're not showing him because they want the reveal of where he turns up to be a big deal.
Right. So you think he's going to turn up in the last minute and just have a curious look on his face?
I'm not talking verbatim. I'm talking, you know, I think it's entirely possible they might. I was lost in Ben Mendelsohn's eyes for a second there. I do apologize. They are incredibly, incredibly blue.
If only I had a pound for every time that happened.
Yeah,
you eat your liver and with a nice.
You can get lost in Donnie Yen's eyes in these promotional shots as well. They're very, very striking. Obviously, that's a bit different, but yeah. I wonder if his presence in the film is going to be something significant when it happens. You know, either that or he's modified in some way, like he's got a kind of not a prosthesis or some. Thing that some we talked, you know, didn't we theorize at one point that Luke might be deformed in some way, which is why they weren't showing his face in the film in the trailers and stuff, because he might turn up looking different to what we'd expect, so they wanted it to be a big deal. I think that's entirely possible.
I think it might be something a little bit more straightforward, a little more simple. I suspect he may be in an Imperial uniform, and I don't want to give away the fact that he is part of the Empire just yet.
Yeah.
And maybe they want to hold that reveal for the movie, because if Jin doesn't know what happened to her dad, we shouldn't know what happened to her dad until she learns it on screen.
Yeah, that also makes sense, yeah.
And it says also in the notes that he might have some sort of knowledge about Kyber crystals.
Yeah. Ooh,
potentially
okay.
How they get them to work in a weapon of the size of the Death Star.
Yeah, that could be cool. They're trying to sort of, you know, they're trying to get the last bits of the weapon to fire.
Yeah.
And it's not working properly in some way. Yeah. Like it's overheating or it's
breaking.
Well, a lot
of people have indicated that at the end of Revenge of the Sith, the laser emitter, that dish, is already in place. Yeah.
Well, it is in place.
When Palpatine and Vader are looking out at the Death Star hanging there, the laser emitter is already in place. And now we see it in the trailer for Rogue One that they're dropping it into place as if they're putting the finishing touches to it. It does make me wonder whether or not they failed repeatedly to get this to work.
Maybe, because that would explain why there's such a big gap as well, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Or there's just a mistake in the story.
Years. Yeah, this could. It probably is that, Steve, that it is an error in storytelling, or they want to retcon it slightly so that they can make more sense of the timeline. Because like Rob just pointed out, it's taken 19 years to go from a sphere hanging over a planet somewhere to something being that's really to rock and roll. And maybe, because they've referred to Galen Erso a couple of times now as a Robert Oppenheimer-style character.
Yeah.
So perhaps he's been swept up when Jim was 15 and told, make this work. And he's said Kyber Crystals is the best way to make this work. Perhaps he's a Jedi acolyte.
This is a big tangent. We haven't done one tonight, so we're on a tangent. Kind of a tangent.
We were making such good time.
I know. We were doing so well.
We'll jump back in. How did the new Starkiller base, how did
it's
the
at least Star Wars crystal related again.
Laser beam that comes out of it be intelligent enough to split up and head towards different parts?
Ah, no, I know the answer to this because I looked it up. Sorry. I'm not even, you can't even stump me when you plan it. It's weird. I'm kidding. I'm being deliberately arrogant for comic effect there to a point. anyway, I know this because, I think it's partly explained in the book, but I think the deeper explanation is that each part of the energy is gravitating towards gravitating towards the planet cores.
Ah.
Yeah, but how did it know? Why doesn't it all just go towards one then?
Because it's been fired into the middle, so it's all been split off. I'm guessing it has to be fired into a particular point in space in order to correctly split.
Yeah, because it kind of goes along as one, and then it splits all of a sudden. Seems a bit contrived to me.
I've no problem agreeing with that. I mean,
do you want me to email JJ,
please,
cool.
And just tell him that beam didn't make
just
sense.
Just speculate on my, give him my theory, and ask him if that's true.
Yeah,
because I just want him to say Rob was right, so I can get it trending on Twitter. Make Star Wars great again, or whatever.
Okay, yes. last couple of bits of Rogue One news. K2. Which is the short version of K2SO's name.
Yeah.
K2. Did we touch on that when we were breaking down these character names? I know I thought he was called 5-0 for a while, but did someone suggest K2?
We talked about it at length, didn't we? He could be 50, he could be SO, he could be...
Yeah.
K2 didn't pop up, I don't think.
No.
Which is weird.
Again, makes us look like a bunch of idiots.
Well...
We should have had that. It's too obvious.
Yeah.
Anyway,
maybe that's it. We're looking for the long shots.
Yeah,
we're over engineering. We're trying to do trick shots on a golf course, but we're trying to do it. But we're missing the easy putts.
Indeed. So K2SO or K2 is described as being Chewie in a droid's body. He doesn't really give one an S.
Sorry,
he doesn't really give an S.
A, right, obviously. Gotcha.
I didn't write these show notes thinking about the rules that we've put in place. He doesn't care what you think.
Mm-hmm.
He will say things without thinking. I like the sound of this character.
I kind of like him, yeah.
A Chewbacca-style droid. I like that a lot.
I love the way you've written the show note because it just says Chewie in a droid's body. I was like, that's the least Chewie thing I can think of.
Yeah, really spindly.
Yeah, really spindly and metallic.
Yeah, the attitude, though. Pretty cool.
Yeah, totally.
And
it's kind of what I was hoping they'd go, the path they'll go down with Luke, where they make him a little bit sort of antisocial and a little bit kind of lacking in graces because he's not been around people for ages.
Yeah, doing that Yoda thing we spoke about.
Well, this is what we were talking about. Where were we talking about it? Luke's first line. Oh, it was on Twitter, wasn't it? With Kyle back and forth.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
And I was saying that I would like to see him go down the route of like, you know, who talks first? Do I talk first? You talk first. Well, it's like because he spent 5-6 years outside of human contact. I just imagine he'd be a little bit uneasy at first and not really care enough to guard his words or anything like that, and he'd just be a bit of a git.
I do like that idea. I also like the idea of the first time we see Han and Rey, that he's got her running drills like Yoda did, running, jumping over things, climbing up vines and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And just barking orders at her again, like a Mr. Miyagi type thing, you know?
Yeah, not like my original plan, which is an Ali Ermi Full Metal Jacket style one.
No, the Full Metal Jacket dialogue probably
screaming
not.
Screaming obscenities at
her. Only two things come out of Jakku.
I think you should whack a Princess Leia costume on her straight away.
Wow, okay.
And have done with it.
Maybe he's
and he could just look at it and go, oh, this is good. It's not creepy this time.
Yeah. I was going to just quote A Fish Called Wanda, but I think the reference is probably 20 years out of date.
No, you can do it. I'll get it.
No, you would
Castle
get it.
Towers Hotel.
We'll put it on to the, we'll put it in the After Dark side.
All right.
Last bit of Rogue One news is related to Donnie Yen's character, which I find this really interesting. I think you pronounce the name Chirrut.
Chirrut sounds right, yeah.
Devoted to the Jedi way without actually being a Jedi. Is he a member of the Church of the Force, do we think?
He could be, or maybe he's just somebody who sort of idolizes the Jedi way in the same way as, you know, there are people who aren't religious, but they still try and live by the kind of the basic tenets of don't be a mofo.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. People sort of, I don't believe everything in the Bible, but I kind of try and live my life by these bits, that sort of thing. Maybe he sort of, there's certain tenets of the Jedi Order that he likes.
Do they do that in Star Wars? Are they usually quite pointed, aren't they, with their references?
The character we've seen so far are, but with the, you know, we're clearly seeing a lot of we've been told that Rogue One's going to have a bit of nuance, so this may be their kind of first teasing into the idea.
Does that not play into Steve's concerns for last week that you can end up demystifying these things?
Sure,
because if you've got these people that maybe aren't as force sensitive as a Jedi, but they can still use the Force. I mean, we had hints that might have been part of Han's character in The Force Awakens. You know, that shot where he comes out of the bunker and his hand just sort of lifts up and he shoots to the right without looking and he takes out a stormtrooper.
Mm.
That doesn't happen in Star Wars unless their hand is being guided by the Force.
I suppose. And
then you've got Maz, who clearly uses the Force. She understands the Force. You've got Law San Tekka and the Church of the Force with Gloria and Anna Maria and Jakku.
Mm-hmm.
If you start to make the Jedi less than what they are, unless they're trying to retcon the Jedi, because we've seen the Jedi as these superhumans in the prequels, but in the original trilogy, all we saw were Yoda and Obi-Wan. So maybe they're trying to retcon what the Force is by saying it's not just the superheroes that lived in a temple on Coruscant. That could be anybody, but those were just the Jedi were a particular sect that studied the Force in that way. But other people can have the Force and use it and be one with it and, like you say, practice certain tenets of it.
Yeah.
I don't know. This could be interesting, depending on which way they go with that.
Hmm.
He looks pretty cool though. I like the idea of a blind character as well. I like an idea that you're taking something away from a character and giving them something else.
Yeah.
Like Daredevil in Jedi robes.
Matrix.
Yes, the Matrix, yeah. All right, episode 8 news.
Okay.
Looks like we might see footage from episode 8 at Celebration, as mentioned earlier, because it was featured at the License Expo. Alan Horn kind of made a joke about it being there. I'm not really sure what to think of this because, like we said before, it could end up stealing Rogue One's lunch, couldn't it? Rogue One's already on the back foot with this whole reshoot thing.
Yeah.
It deserves Celebration as a stage of its own, really. Episode 8 is going to sell itself. And it's got next year's Celebration to be a big part of the party. So.
Yeah.
I very much doubt we'll see anything.
Yeah, I don't think we will. Maybe. No, I don't think we will.
Maybe that's footage. A very basic making of kind of behind the scenes bits and bobs.
That makes a lot more sense to me now.
Yeah, I think that's more likely to me.
Yeah, this is how much fun we're having.
Yeah, exactly. That sort of that approach to it is like, you know, look how much fun we're having. Maybe even use it as a kind of incentive for the Force for Change thing.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Know? Yeah. One of the amazing drives.
They may have, I mean, you know, for all we know, this is, we're not privy to some a lot of this stuff. So for all we know, they've brought some kids from using Force for as Force for Change kind of events. They brought some kids to the set for the day or something. That's a way of mixing in footage from Episode 8, but raw footage maybe that's not been, what's it called?
Yeah, there's no post work done on it. It's all just...
yeah, exactly. Really rough cuts and, you know, just shots of... I mean, like the Space Horse, you know, the shot we saw of that where it was just him on the back of something.
All out of context.
Him on the back of something just kind of going through a thing. Stuff like that, but shot from a different, proper production angle. That's the kind of thing I could see them bringing out for a celebration. And then, like I say, if they've tied it into Force for Change and brought some kids to set as some as an event or something like that, that'd be a really good way of doing it. Who knows? Okay. Who knows?
Well, we'll find out soon enough.
You know, it'd be fun is if we do in the pre-celebration show, we could do a little prediction.
Yes, what we're going to see.
A little prediction, a little roundtable prediction thing, and see who gets the most right.
Yeah, and we'll put it. We'll lock it all into the show notes so that.
Yeah, so it's in hard copy.
Yeah, we can reference it.
Yeah,
if they do show a scene, I want it to be this scene.
Okay.
Which again, this is something that suggests that the crystals inside the Skywalker lightsaber might be more important than we initially thought.
Yeah.
And this is a little description that leaked. I think it was, where did I see this? The Daily Mail, I think this was.
It is, yeah. You can see the source here.
Luke takes his arm out and uses the Force to pull the lightsaber from Rey gently. The lightsaber floats through the air to him, slowly going into Luke's hand as he grabs it. The next sequence is Luke Skywalker taking out his other hand and his lightsaber floats off of his belt. At this point, Luke has two hands semi-raised up with two lightsabers, green on the left, blue on the right. From what has been described, Luke closes his eyes and dismantles both lightsabers, all metal and components removed into pieces. All the building blocks of both lightsabers are separated into tiny bits and pieces, leaving only two crystals, one in each hand, green over the left, blue over the right hand, and then he informs her about the importance of the crystals. So we know.
I don't like it.
Is that a real spoiler or is that conjecture?
This is a leak, so this could be complete nonsense.
I think it's back to the age old too much information thing.
Yeah, it could be. It could be a lot of speculation, the sort of thing that we do here, but.
I mean, if it happened, it would ruin the whole lightsaber thing.
Do you think?
It's kind of
someone voiced that concern earlier on, actually, on Twitter. I saw. Yeah, you can overdo this, can't you?
Yeah.
But what we've been saying over the past couple of weeks about the importance of the crystal in the Skywalker saber, the fact that it called to Rey.
Yeah.
That there might be a connection between Rey and Anakin, and that's why the crystal called to both.
Yeah.
Now with this Lego TV show, the fact that the crystal might have come from the first Jedi weapon, the Kyber Saber. So it might be incredibly powerful. There might be some significance to it. And don't forget that Heir to the Jedi canon novel that came out kind of explained where Luke got his green crystal from.
Yes.
So maybe there's something to this. Maybe they are going to...
It just sounds
into these things.
It sounds just corny as all hell. And especially what worries me about it is if you read that scene back, it sort of sounds like it's the first thing he does in Episode 8, and that would really I'd just be kind of rolling my eyes at that point if that's the first thing that happens.
Yeah.
In Episode 8 is he doesn't say a word still. And just reaches out, takes the lightsaber from her, and then just dismantles them both and goes, "Yeah, look." Unless he swaps the crystals out or something, and he goes, "This one's better."
Yeah, I'm having the blue one. Thanks for bringing it back to me.
Cheers for that.
Yeah,
yeah. No, it's ultimately, like a lot of things that sound corny on paper, it depends on how they execute it. If it's, you know, if what I don't want is for this to be the equivalent of Yoda raising the X-Wing out of the swamp. the whole, you know, the inconceivable thing that the apprentice doesn't believe is possible and the master wants to show off, because it will just be a really, really washed out version of Yoda's one, because Yoda's one is incredible.
You can't do that again, because we had no idea that that was a possibility, didn't we? We didn't know who Yoda was. We didn't know that all we'd seen, the only element we'd seen that even, you know, there was no telekinesis until Empire. The only thing we'd seen move was Luke pull the lightsaber and then he'd move a couple of pebbles around.
No, we'd seen Obi-Wan do it.
What did Obi-Wan do?
He made a noise down the corridor to distract him after he directly activated the tractor beam.
Oh, yes. Well, I like to think he was just throwing some change.
Mm.
Some loose change, just a few credits. Take these over there. Yeah, it could be that he was throwing stuff, but I mean, we did that reveal of Yoda lifting that ship was really powerful and a major character moment.
Mm.
This now, if we saw Luke doing these little bits and pieces, it's not going to be as impactful because we've seen better things happen.
Some geek has sat at home and wrote that idea and then put it on the internet as if it's a leak.
Maybe.
There's no way the film's going to start like that. It's too midichlorian crap.
Yeah, maybe. I think there's an element of truth to it, though. My personal feeling is there's an element of truth there. I don't think there's, you know, there's no smoke without fire, right?
Well, maybe he takes the lightsaber via the Force and moves it across the air to himself, but he doesn't. I don't think he's going to dismantle him in midair.
Mm.
I think that's just awful. It will look awful.
It's a cover of a Legends novel, isn't it? That's what that says to me.
It's too digital. He's on an island in the middle of nowhere. This has got to stay analog, this scene.
Yeah.
Mm.
If you know what I mean.
And do you know, the last time we saw anyone working on a lightsaber was in a deleted scene. We saw Luke building the green lightsaber and he had little screwdrivers. Yeah. And he was doing it all by hand.
Before he went to Jabba's palace.
Exactly.
Mm.
In a cave.
Yeah. Oh, well. I'll be interested to know what the listeners think about this point, because I'm concerned, like you guys are, that it's going a little bit too far.
Mm.
And but I also think that the crystals are significant. And I just wonder where the medium ground is here. I don't know. A little bit concerned. Anyway, that was our last news story.
Okay.
So I think if you guys are good to GO, we can call it a day there.
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay. All right, let's back out then. So thank you for listening to Talk Star Wars again this week. If you'd like to support what we do here, then head over to talkstarwars.co.uk/support, where you can become a TSW sponsor by giving as little as £1 per month securely via PayPal. In doing so, you'll immediately qualify for VIP status and be whisked away to register your email address. You'll then get access to exclusive VIP feed with previews and news about what we're up to here at TSW and some fun downloads, which you may have heard me hint at earlier on. Failing that, you can support us simply by liking and following us on all our social networks. And please share the posts. Let's get this word out there. Get the word out about Talk Star Wars. So, on the subject of social networks, chaps, where can people find you this week?
Well, you can check out my Bespin sunset I mentioned earlier. I took a beautiful sunset. It woke me up because the whole room was orange, and it did look like Bespin.
It does. It's on my YouTube channel.
It's on my YouTube channel. It's a bit boring, but it is Star Wars esque, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's on the Palestine channel. So CalasTein. Check out the sunset there. And click like and subscribe, and then you'll be bored with froglets for the rest of your life.
Melting froglets. You get a link. You can get a link to that in our description to this episode as well. It'll take you to our landing page. Rob, where can people find you, sir?
So I'm most active on Twitter at Rob Wade Vision, and I've got a blog I run with a couple of friends, emotionally14.com. It's 14 digits, not letters, so emotionally14. There's a Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, podcasts. There'll be a new episode of a podcast, one of the two podcasts, by the time this episode goes live. So enjoy those. And yeah, those are the main things.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. Okay, don't forget to head over to iTunes and leave us a big fat 5-star review if you haven't done so already. Thanks again to listen to us this week, and we will see you guys next week.
See you later.
Bye bye.
It's a wrap. It's a wrap.